Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome to this edition of Side Retired, the MLB podcast. It is Dylan joined alongside Jack, and today we have a very special guest with us from the New York Post. It is Mike Vaccaro. So Jack, Mr. Vaccaro, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing well, guys. Please call me Mike. My father was Mr. Vaccaro. So.
Sounds good. I'm always, whenever we do stuff like this, I'm like, do I call him Mike? Do I call him Mr. Vaccaro?
And good. We're all friends here.
Sounds good. So, of course, Mike has a Hall of Fame ballot, and we're going to get into that. We'll also be talking a little bit New York sports, Mets, Yankees, as we're all big Mets and Yankee fans here. Jack, I don't know if you want to get us kicked off with the first question, and let's get into it.
So Mike, obviously get your ballot. I know you have obviously the two big steroid guys on there, so Bonds and Clemens, but you left off guys like A-Rod and David Ortiz. So I'm just curious, like, what's the separating factor between, you know, Clemens and Bonds versus Ortiz and A-Rod? Does it have a factor with like their years or just?
Yeah, sure. It's a great question. Look, I mean, I do separate the two of them. I think for one thing, Clemens and Bonds played baseball at a time before there was actual steroid legislation in the sport. So to me, that separates them automatically from guys like Manny and Ortiz and certainly Manny and A-Rod, who suffered consequences for repeated use once the steroid rules were implemented. I also think that those two are on a different level. They were the best players of a generation, and if we acknowledge they used steroids, well, we probably acknowledge that most of the people in the sport used steroids at that time too. And so I get it. It could be people think sometimes I'm picking nits, and why am I, why do I distinguish? And that's part of the beauty of having this ballot, is that you really are asked to be judge, jury, executioner, the whole bit. And it's very subjective. And, look, my opinions have changed from year to year. At the beginning of their time on the ballot, I didn't vote for the two of them. Now I do. I hadn't voted for Sammy any year until this year. I did this year. I mean, it's probably not going to matter. It's probably not going to matter that I didn't vote for Ortiz, because I think by all indications, he's going to get enough on the ballot to get in. If anybody gets in, it's going to be him. So that's my rationale. I get it. A lot of people have different reasons and different belief systems, but that's the reason why I include those guys.
So I guess in general, what is sort of the Hall of Fame voting process? I guess everyone probably has their own way of going about it. So how do you, I guess the ballot still comes in the mail, old fashioned style. And do you sort of know who you're going to vote for going into it? Or is it really you got to research the guys, you got to dig into the numbers?
No, I think guys like me who take it seriously. I mean, we take the entire month that we have the ballot in our hands. I think we study it and we look. I know I always wait until the final week that I have it until I actually mail it, because, and yes, it is an old-fashioned mail ballot. Baseball doesn't change very much. And to me, I mean, I do that because I want to make sure that what I know, that my vote is exactly what I'm feeling. And so I do anything. I crunch numbers. I go into deep thought. I ask people that I respect their opinions, and then I come up with the names. I'm someone who generally tends to submit a full ballot. I like to submit 8, 9, 10 names a year. Others are a lot more reserved with how many people they put on. Some people don't put anybody on. And I think that's a fair, argument to make also. If you don't believe in a guy as being an automatic Hall of Famer, perhaps, you take your time that way, and you you can be as hard a grader as you want to be. But to me, that's all part of the honor of actually having a Hall of Fame ballot.
Sounds good. I guess one guy that you did add to your ballot this year that you didn't have in the previous years is Todd Helton, who is a guy that probably didn't have any steroid ties with him, but he did have the whole Coors Field effect that everyone sort of talks about. Did Larry Walker making the Hall of Fame impact you, or was it sort of a separate case by case?
It was certainly part of my thinking. I mean, the fact that we clearly, took away whatever Coors Field prejudices we have, by including the segment of Larry Walker's career where he was a Rocky, played half his games at Coors Field, that shouldn't really be held against somebody. And look, Todd Helton was a very good player. And when you start looking at, his comps and, his numbers and his war and all this other stuff, I mean, these are all the things that go into your thinking. And And, you know, again, to me, I mean, part of it is because I was looking to, I don't believe I voted for 10 this year, but I like to include a fair segment of people. And he was certainly one of the best players of his generation. And to me, that was, you know, that's what put him over the top in my view.
Another guy I know, Dylan mentioned someone you added. I know Andrew Jones came off your ballot this year. Was that just, you know, obviously, would you say that you just ran out of space, or is that, you know, your change in thought that you elected to have
him? You know, the change in thought, I guess, although it's, you know, I could very easily see myself going back and putting him on again next year. And I know that's, you know, sometimes people wonder, how can a guy be a Hall of Famer 1 year and not the next year? He didn't have one extra at bat during the time of your consideration. But that's, you know, that's the beauty of this ballot, is that, you know, it's not either or. And it's not one. It's, you know, it's evaluating a series of candidates, and, you know, it's important for me to give all these guys the proper consideration every year.
I think that's the key, and sort of that there is no wrong ballot anymore. It's not like there's a Mariano Rivera this year where it's, oh yes, that's a universal, that's an automatic yes. And obviously there are guys on the ballot, I'm not going to call them out, but sort of AJ Pierzynski that probably were not deeply under consideration, but sort of sure. made the ballot. But this year, we're definitely seeing a lot of guys in that 20 to 50 percentile in voting, because it's sort of a coin toss. It's guys like Andrew Jones, Billy Wagner, who I know you did vote for.
Now, a lot of guys who had worthy careers. And to me, I think there's something to be said for getting a fair amount of Hall of Fame votes during the course of the time you're on the ballot, because it does kind of reflect that you were a worthy baseball player, even if it doesn't wind up with you in Cooperstown.
So I guess two other of those types of underrated guys that you did click on your ballot, Jeff Kent and Scott Rolen. I know they probably don't appear off the top of the page like, yes, that's an automatic Hall of Famer, but you have clicked off their names. So what's sort of special about them in your opinion?
Well, I think Rolen was a special third baseman. I mean, and when you look at what he did, what he accomplished, to me, I mean, it's at least worthy of discussion. And, you know, who was the other one? I'm sorry. Besides Roland,
Jeff Kent.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jeff Kent for four or five years, one of the most feared players in baseball. Yes, he played in the same lineup with Barry Bonds, that helped. But you know, he was also a guy to me who, you know, I suppose that if you made the answer a strict yes or no, you might say no. But if you look, but the more you look at his career, the more you realize how much he achieved, especially in a position that's, I think, underrepresented in the Hall of Fame at second base.
This guy isn't really at the same level, but I know Billy Wagner is a similar guy for that. Do you have, you know, any strong opinions with that? I know you voted for him before, you voted for him this year. You know, if you had to make the case for other voters, the rest of the 50% that hasn't voted for him, what would you say with him being deserving?
Look, I mean, there was a stretch when he was the most feared closer in baseball, but that, you know, the thing is, the problem with a lot of closers going forward is that they're all going to be kind of compared against Mariano. Now, was he ever Mariano except for his walk-in music, which he borrowed? The answer is no, but he was still a pretty dominant closer on some very good teams, and three different teams, in fact, during the prime of his career. And, you know, and he really never suffered much drop-off. You know, he walked away probably at the right time of his career. To me, I think he deserves recognition as one of the better guys to do that job.
Sounds good. And then another guy, I believe the last name you checked off on your ballot is another guy you added for the first time this year, Tim Hudson. He's a guy that normally goes in that 5% range. He's in danger of falling off the ballot this year, but you're one of the guys that is trying to keep him on and save him on this ballot. So
that's really the reason why. I mean, there are just some guys that I do think, I mean, look, we have the power to do this. We have the power to keep guys on the ballot. And to me, you know, look, I mean, it's not a wasted vote. I think he's a guy that I would love to just keep on the ballot for years when it might not be so crowded, so you can reevaluate. That doesn't mean he's necessarily a Hall of Famer, and that might not be the most, you know, the best use of a vote, I suppose. But I definitely feel comfortable in using my vote that way.
And then circling back to more, I know we mentioned it early on, but with the steroid guys, it seems like Ortiz is, as you mentioned, the only one to get in. Do you think, obviously now there's, after you guys, they fall off the ballot, Veterans Committee, do you see a path for guys like Bonds, Clemens, A-Rod, Manny, if they're going to ever get in? And like, when do you think they will get the call?
Well, I think that the people who vote tend to vote in spite of steroid pass tend to skew younger. And so that doesn't really bode well when you're talking about the Veterans Committee, because those committees skew much older than even the writers, you know, the Writers Association. So, and a lot of established Hall of Famers who are on those various committees have all stated for the record they're never going to vote for them. Now, those voting bodies change also. So maybe in, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 years, that might be different, but I would be very surprised if you see them make a huge impact once they make those, you know, once they come under those committees' purviews. It would be very, very surprising to me.
And then I guess there are two players that aren't on the ballot just yet that did pop into my head since of the whole New York connection. So this is a little out of the blue question, but it did pop into my head. Are CeCe Sabathia and Carlos Beltran future Hall of Famers?
I think they both have strong arguments. I think Sabathia is. I think Beltran might fall short because, unfortunately, he got involved late in his career with the Astros mess. And I think that's going to impact a lot of people's votes in the same way it impacts people's votes, you know, when you're dealing with the steroid issue. I mean, to me, I think both guys are worthy of the Hall of Fame. I'm pretty sure that when those guys are on the ballot, I'll vote for both of them. I don't have their numbers in front of me. I don't have their comps. I don't have, you know, their analytics in front of me. But I do know that, you know, when I watched those guys play in the heart of their careers, I did believe they were both Hall of Famers, and I think that matters.
So for 2017, this is obviously looking into a good bit to the future, but do you think that's going to be considered on par with the steroids when, like, obviously we're not at the end of their careers yet, but guys like Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, Justin Verlander, not the same case, but still on that team. Do you think that's going to be part of the equation with deciding whether these guys get to get enshrined in Cooperstown?
It probably won't be part of my equation, to be honest with you, but I can see where it would be. I won't hold it against somebody, but I would, I can understand why it would. It also might be the difference between voting somebody in the first year and making them wait. You know, which is essentially, I think, what I was going to do with Ortiz. I mean, I wasn't going to vote him this year because there was enough suspicion around him to where I figured that it was, you know, there was no harm in making him wait a year. I probably would vote for him again next year if he was back on the ballot next year.
Sounds good. And I guess another guy that is has been away from the Hall of Fame ballot for a while, but is finally getting his number retired by the New York Mets. That's Keith Hernandez. I'm pretty sure you wrote a recent article about how the Mets are starting to honor their past, honor their history. What are your thoughts on whole Keith Hernandez getting his number retired, worthy and all that stuff?
Yeah, well, he's definitely worthy of that. I've been writing for years that number 17 should be retired because he was, you know, one of the four or five essential players in team history. And I think that's those are the kind of players whose numbers get retired. Is he Hall of Famer? Look, when I first started voting for the Hall of Fame was the tail end of both his and Don Mattingly's stay on the ballot. I voted for both of them. I believe that they are both worthy of the Hall of Fame. I mean, and again, you know, I understand that they weren't shoo-in members. I do think that after, you know, they both had 15 years worth of people voting for them. So I would think that after that amount of time that it would have been enough. I certainly believe that strongly, even more strongly now, that we've seen guys like Ted Simmons and Bill Mazeroski and Harold Baines get in the Hall of Fame. So if those guys are Hall of Famers, I certainly think that Hernandez and Mattingly are, and it'll be interesting to see what happens when their names appear on the Veterans Committee again.
Now, I think we've wrapped up our Hall of Fame and a talk, but just a quick question for you. Aaron Judge extension, does it happen or does it not?
I can't imagine that it wouldn't. I mean, he's just such a valuable part of what the Yankees do. I understand the concerns, I do, but he's also a guy who's been a productive player every year he's played. You know, even the years that have been shortened by health, I mean, he's had terrific years. I mean, he's a guy who's just a linchpin in the lineup. And to me, I mean, look, you know, they're the Yankees. They can afford it. You know, they just can. Assuming that we're not coming back from the labor stoppage with a salary cap, I mean, he's the kind of player that you build around. And look, I mean, you know, yes, Mike Stanton's got a big contract number, but they're not paying that entire contract. Marlins are paying a huge chunk of it. So to me, I mean, I say, you know, I can't come up with a good reason why you wouldn't have Aaron Judge, you know, extend Aaron Judge for as long as you can.
And I guess assuming the whole there's no salary cap, do you think the Mets are probably done, or could they make another big move? Maybe a Chris Bryant, anything in that area?
Oh, with Steve Cohen and his bankroll, it's really hard to, you know, it's really hard to know. You know, I mean, I could easily see him signing Chris Bryant. Why not? You know, this is a man worth $14 billion. So, I mean, there's really not a floor to what he's, or even a ceiling to what, I mean, I think he could comfortably spend. So, I do think that he probably is in the mood for one more addition. Now, whether that comes as a big ticket free agent, whether that comes as a trade, I don't think the Mets are done. And I think there's a real ambition among Cohen to have a year next year that ends the way that he would find satisfying.
Sounds good. Jack, you got anything else?
I think I'm good. Thank you.
All good. Well, thank you so much for stopping by and talking a little baseball with us. We always appreciate it and love to have you on.
No problem, guys. Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you so much. And Jack, unless there's anything else, I guess with that, the side is retired.